The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. And today's guest is Beverly Ledbetter, who is omnipresent at Democratic events, omniscient in terms about Democratic matters, and omnipotent, a very strong voice in education and other things. Welcome, Beverly. And so, Beverly, thank you very much for being here. And how and when and why did you ever become a Democrat?
I was in the first wave of people who were eligible to vote at age 18. The 26th Amendment was passed in July of 71, and my girlfriend Mary and I drove around, decided to find out what exactly the Republican and the Democratic parties believed in. And the true story is, I already knew I was going to be a Democrat, but I decided I would, you know, at least go and find out what the Republican Party was about. So we drove to this building. This is before GPS and before the internet. So we looked it up in the phone book. And we went to this building and we walked in and we asked the lady, you know, could we find out some information about the Republican Party? And she told us she was sorry, but this wasn't the Republican Party headquarters. And there was a big sign outside on the building that said it was. So we walked back out and we saw the sign. We walked all the way around that building. There was no door. So I decided if the Republican Party didn't even have a door to get into their building, they were not a party I was interested in.
Right.
But the real reason I became a Democrat is both my parents were Democrat. And I have some core, solid beliefs. And one of them is that when you do unto the least, you do unto me. And the Democratic Party to me is the party of the people, of the little people. I grew up in the 1960s. I started first grade in 1959-60, and I was in the 11th grade in 69-70. So I grew up during the turmoil, and every night we watched Walter Cronkite on television. So I was aware of what was going on. And the Democratic Party was the party that was standing up for the rights of people. I remember reading stories of senior citizens who had no money and had to decide whether or not they wanted to buy their prescription drugs or eat. Stories of senior citizens like my grandparents eating cat food, if you remember those stories. And it was the Democratic Party that brought Social Security and brought Medicare to those people. It was the Democratic Party that stood up for the rights of people. And also during the 1960s, it was women who were looking for to have a voice. And it was the Democratic Party that backed them. And then, of course, during Obama, we had the Equal Pay Act, the Lilly Ledbetter Act. So to me, it was a natural fit of my concern for people and standing up for the rights of people. We were a great fit.
I think that's good answer, because one of the reasons we're doing these podcasts is that people want to find out about what real everyday Democrats think, not just the candidates, but what everyday Democrats think. And that's, I think we've hit the core of what I believe people would really want to know about Democrats and so forth. So let's do this. Let's talk for a minute about what do you think Democrats have to do now about some of the major issues? And then we'll talk about what to do for the election. But for now, what are the major things, Beverly, that we should start be concentrating on as Pasco Democrats, maybe the DEC, and about the issues that are confronting us now? In fact, what are the issues, you think, first of all?
Well, I think the number one issue is the total mistrust of our institutions that the Republican Party has sown. And that, to me, is the biggest hurdle that we as Democrats have to overcome. You know, Democrats generally believe that people, if presented with the facts, will choose to believe facts. Unfortunately, that is not what happens. the Republican Party has tapped into fear. And that's a big issue, I think, in our country. They've tapped into this fear. Immigrants are going to come and infect you with COVID or take away your jobs. Every person is going to have an abortion. People are taking away your rights. The communists are coming. They appeal to the fear factor in people. And so to me, that's one of the biggest issues, is trying to reinstate trust into our institutions. The schools are under attack. They don't trust the schools. They don't trust the CDC. They don't trust the government. That to me is the number one thing that Democrats have to do. And I think that one of the ways that we can do this is, I think, listening to one of the podcasts that you did with Brandy Goett, I believe we do have to get back to those kitchen issues, those kitchen table issues, those issues that affect a person's pocketbook and a person's everyday life, and move away from the esoteric philosophical issues, but really get down to the nitty gritty, because that's when we prove that Democrats care and Democrats deliver.
Any ideas as to how we should go about doing this?
We too need to appeal to emotion. We need to remind people that we had the senior citizens who were on the brink of financial ruin. We need to remind people that Democrats were the ones who sent out that lifeboat and rescued people from poverty, that Democrats are the people who brought to us equal pay, that it is Democrats who are allowing your family to have a higher standard of living by pushing for that $15 an hour minimum wage. Mm-hmm. I think if we appeal to the emotion of taking care of your family, and that's the key issues that I think Democrats need to focus on, is taking care of the family.
Now, the hardest part, though, is this. We're living in a county that obviously has many more Republicans registered than Democrats. The no-party people are only a few thousand behind in theirs. How do we get our concerns and our desire to let people know what we've done, how do we get this out to people?
You know, that's a very good question, and it is difficult. I think the number one thing, and this is where the Republicans do have us in an advantage, is that they are a single issue, single-minded organization. The Democrats have always prided themselves on being the big tent. We have a variety of and a range of views on issues. We're united in the fact that we want to protect people's rights. But we have a variety of avenues that we wish to take. We have got to form a single message, and we have to get every person running for office, every Democrat who speaks to other Democrats, we have to get them speaking that same language. And I think the slogan, Democrats Care, Democrats Deliver, is a great vehicle to do that. We need to utilize social media. One of the things that I spoke to the East Pasco Democratic Club on Monday night was the fact that, like a candidate, repost on your Facebook, repost their statements, repost things that you see from the Democratic Party. You have a reach. There are people in your sphere of influence who look at you as someone that they trust and someone that they can believe. May not believe politicians, but they're going to trust their friends. So repeat the message over and over again. You know, the more you repeat something, the more people believe in it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we are doing in the outreach committee is exactly what you were talking about earlier, and that is to get at least one or two consistent messages that everybody is using, candidates as well as people making phone calls to potential voters, or somebody holding up a sign somewhere on a busy afternoon in a busy intersection. One or two messages that people can think. I think the idea of the Democrats Care, Democrats Deliver is something that everybody could agree with. And I think it'd be something very easy to put on a sign. It'd be very easy to, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, get that across to them. So I think that's a very good idea and a good suggestion on that, Beverly. Okay, we've got some other issues, though, I'm sure that we can probably talk about. What are the other issues facing us as Democrats in Pasco County and in the state?
Redistricting is going to be a major concern for the Democrats, not only in Pasco County, but in the state. Right. The Republicans control the legislature. They are going to be the ones who will approve, along with the court, they will approve the maps and the redrawing. And I think that you're going to be seeing a lot of areas and groups of people marginalized. That's a major concern, because he who controls the map can control right. the future of the House, mm-hmm. and not the state level, but also when you're talking about Congress as well.
Right. Okay. Redistricting. What else might be there in Pasco County? Growth, development, that kind of thing.
Definitely. This is definitely, I'm in the Dade City area, and right now they are looking at a lot of the pasture lands, particularly the area close to Lake Jovita, and that area of turning it into high density home development. Mm-hmm. And East Pasco, particularly Northeast Pasco, fought very hard to retain that rural community sense and the open spaces. Right. This also has a great impact on the environment as well, because the more you pave over the land, the less you have of a recharge area, the less fresh air that you have. So I think that's a real problem in terms of growth, in terms of the roads that we have. You know, I'm looking at some of the road construction over in East Pasco now, mm-hmm. and we've got these two-lane little roads with all these huge developments going on.
Right.
The schools can't keep up as well.
And
services can't keep up.
And transportation, as you know, when you and Michael have come over to meetings that we have on this side of the county, if the meeting's at 6:30 and you're leaving your place, by the time you get on 41 towards, the 41, it's just insane. If you have 52 to 41, it's just, the traffic is out of sight.
It's a bumper to bumper. I don't think New Jersey could have anything over us. we're getting to be that bad. There's no plan. Developers with their big money contributions, they are able. You know, money does talk, and that's another problem that Democrats face as well, is because we're not in power. The people who do have money do not support Democratic candidates, and our own Democrats don't always support Democratic candidates financially, because it does take money to run a campaign.
Now, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to talk about something that's very dear to you and to a lot of us, and that has to do with the whole Sheriff Nacko thing in Pasco schools. And I was unable to be there last night. I know you were among the people holding signs and so forth. I think you got interviewed by some newspapers, right?
And three television stations,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, why don't you briefly tell us what you told them so we can have it on record here.
Well, I hope that everybody is aware of the situation. It was done kind of in secret with the school board and the sheriff, and they have an agreement in which confidential student data, and we're talking about student records such as your child's grades, your child's attendance records, your child's school discipline records, can be shared with the sheriff. The sheriff's department then has created a list of future potential criminals, and that's how these students are being treated. The sheriff's office will come by and drop by your house. They're harassing the students. They're harassing the parents. There isn't any mentorship program going on. And what several groups got together. The Pasco NAACP was one of the people who brought this to the forefront, along with the Tampa Bay Times. We now have an organization called the Pasco Coalition. There are over 30 statewide and national groups that are involved in this, including the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we are trying to get through lawsuits, persuasion, trying to talk to the school board to get them to end the sharing of this information. Parents do not know that this information is being shared. To me, this is a violation of FERPA, which is a Student Privacy Act. If I can't, as a professor at St. Leo University, I am not allowed, because of FERPA, I can't look up my own granddaughter's grades or schedule to see what class she's in if I wanted to go when I'm on campus and go by and see her, because that's a violation of her rights. So I think this is a violation of the right. There is no mentoring going on by the sheriff's department. I think this is just a way to label kids, and our students in poverty, these are the students who are being targeted. And so as an educator, I taught for 36 years in the Pasco school system. And since I retired in 2011, I'm now at St. Leo University, and I get a chance to work with students who wish to become teachers. So I'm very vitally interested, because these were the kids that I taught at Pasco High. I taught kids from Lacoochee. I taught kids from the, quote, the project. They're near and dear to my heart. And for someone to take advantage of them in this way and to label them, you know, our students, particularly students in poverty, they need hope. And I don't speak of hope in the terms of kind of I wish something would happen. I'm talking about hope in the sense that it means that spirit of triumph. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to instill in our students, that, you know, an education can, you know, the American dream is getting a little fuzzy here, but the American dream still is that if you get an education and you work hard, you can be successful. We want our students to be able, and every parent wants their child to have a better standard of life than they have. By labeling these kids, you're taking away that hope, that spirit of triumph. And what you're doing is you're dooming them to that cycle that they're never going to break out, because we don't even know when does that child get out of that database as a future potential criminal. So that's what we're after.
One of the things that I often thought about when I started reading about the NACO thing is this. I was at the school I went to was in Sandy Creek, New York. I was the most promising freshman boy. In my sophomore year, I failed plain geometry, which means that given NACO and the way in which they look at things, I should have grown up to be a criminal. I wonder what I wonder what would happen if you looked at people in an ordinary situation, people who are politicians, people who are in responsible positions in government here in Pasco County, and say, okay, all of you who have failed something in your life, particularly a course in school, raise your hand. I will bet you there'd be quite a few people. And to me, it gives a whole lie to what NACO and that situation is trying to do. It is a lie. It is not a logical thing whatsoever. Anyway, we'll get off that for the moment.
But it does, one more time, it does appeal to people's sense of fear.
Yes,
you have
yes.
lots of people who will agree with this program because we are monitoring future potential criminals. So, see, one more time, is that one issue, that fear that they take and they base everything on. I think that John F. Kennedy once said that you know, the Republicans often use a technique of repeating a lie over and over and over again until people believe it. And I think that's the times that we're living in now. He was very apt when he described that, because that is the time that we're living in.
Yeah. I go back to this, and in many ways, listening to this podcast, there was an author, George Lakoff, a few years ago, you may remember, who was a linguist,
yes.
and he did an awful lot of good writing. One of his books was Don't Think of an Elephant. And it's in that book and a couple of the subsequent publications where he does a great deal of talking about what the Republicans do with language and the idea of fear. and instilling the fear in people. Now, let's take a little minute or two and talk about the state issues and what we in Pasco County should be thinking about there. And then we'll end the podcast with you giving some advice in terms of Democrats and what to do in the next several months leading up to the election. So for now, let's talk about what main problems do we have to face here in the state of Florida.
Well, beside the redistricting, I think there are two areas that we really need to look at. Number one is the environment. Climate mm-hmm. change is real. We're seeing the evidence of this. One of the things, you know, when I used to think about the difference between Democrats and Republicans, Republicans believe in little regulation of business, but lots of regulation on your personal life. Democrats believe that corporations need to be regulated in your personal life, not. We have so deregulated that you get cases like Piney Point, where you have toxics just spewing forth.
Right.
You know, the Gulf can't continually take and regenerate. So I think the environment, we have problems in the Everglades, we have water pollution, we have the problems of clean water, clean air, and it all has to go back to that basic concept of deregulation. So I think that's something that we need to look at as well. And then secondly, I think a key battleground now in our state is education. Because when you control what students learn, you're controlling the future.
Right.
And what we are doing now is we have a decidedly skewed view, particularly in the history, which is what I taught for 36 years in the public school system. We have something, you know, the Republicans want to base everything on, quote, the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's nice.
Mm.
However, yeah. Even though you're quoting all men are created equal, we certainly in our history have not done this. But I think that Democrats need to look at, and we need to push that, we need to look at the preamble of the Constitution, which is the law of our land, when it talks about promoting the common good, taking care of the general welfare. I think those are things that our students need to learn about. And we also need to make sure that our students understand the past, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly.
Yeah.
You can't move forward, and you don't understand the frustration of minority groups when you totally ignore the pain that was caused to them and how we do have institutionalized racism. You know, that's the whole thing about the critical race theory, which is a legal concept and is not taught in our schools.
Right.
But our schools do have an obligation to teach the truth. Slaves and slave owners did not sit around and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
You know.
One of the things that when I was teaching, I had two books I taught in my British Lit classes as well as in my Intro to Philosophy classes, 1984 and Brave New World. And I said to my students, no matter what you do in your future, you have to be aware of the lessons that these two books give you, particularly in 1984, because that's clearly what is happening now. I mean, you take the governor's office, completely manages any kind of news that gets out, and the devil is not going to get to them. At any rate, let's see. Let's just give you one last chance here to talk about what we've got to do to prepare for 2022, and then we'll call that for now. But I'm sure we're going to want to talk to you again in a few months. So what's your final thing to say to Democrats? Okay, folks, get out there and get doing this.
I, Democrats, just don't hope for change, work for change. I think that's my biggest word of advice. And you can do that work in several ways. One, look at your budget. Determine what amount of money that you could give on a monthly basis. Choose one or two candidates. And even if you only give $10 on a reoccurring basis, that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also donate $20.22 to the Pasco Democratic Party, because they're going to support every Democratic candidate mm-hmm. on the state and local level. Number two, if you have a Facebook, like candidates and repost their items so that other people can see this. Mm-hmm. And number three, never give up speaking out against injustice. We tend to be quiet. You don't even want to put a bumper strip on your car because you're afraid. Step out in faith. Don't be afraid. They scratch your car, you got insurance. That's my philosophy.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, listen, thanks very much for that. And I will call it over for today. But again, we'll be in touch. And I'm going to talk with Michael on his thoughts and so forth sometime in the next week or two. And thanks again, Beverly.
Well, thank you.